service, but if you're able to stand, let me invite you to stand with us as we reverence the Word of God this morning, and then we'll pray, and then you can be seated right after that, I promise. It's a very special day today in that we highlighted our teachers. We're highlighting students and teachers today in our service. And at the conclusion of our message today, I will be inviting all the students, the teachers that attend Riverside, to come back at the end of the message, gather in the altar. I will invite all the parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles to gather around them. And we're going to declare the favor and the blessings of God over all of our children right as they get ready to go back to school. Schools, some have already started, some are getting ready to start. It's always been a tradition at Riverside Church to make sure that we gather our students, gather our children into this altar before the school year starts and pronounce and pray the blessings and favor of God upon them. And we're going to do that here in just a moment. And so I'll invite the at a certain point in the message, I think our children are out and our students are out, but we will invite them back regardless if they're being homeschooled, if they're in college age, if you're going back to school, you're a teacher, you work in the school system, and you're starting school back, we want to invite all of them to come and pray in just a moment. But as you're standing, let's look at this verse of scripture that I want to read to us today in our hearing this morning. It's out of the book of Psalms, chapter number 78, verses 4 through 7. I am reading out of the New Living Translation, and this is what it sounds like. It says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power, and about His mighty wonders. For He issued His laws to Jacob. He gave instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born." Touch your neighbor, says this goes deep. "And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands." Let's pray for one another, and then you may be seated after that, and we'll jump into the Word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this beautiful Sunday that You have given us, God. Thank You for the privilege and opportunity to be able to gather in this house of worship, to lift up our voices unto You, to sing praises to Your name, to love on You, God, as You make Your face to shine down on us. We bless You, God, this morning, and we ask You, God, to bless the remainder of this service today. Lord, may Your word come forth like a double-edged sword. Let it pierce our hearts. God, let it bring conviction where conviction needs to be brought. Let it bring encouragement where encouragement needs to be. Lord, let it be uplifting in our lives today. Let this word be transformational today, God. Let us leave here changed and transformed under the mighty power and the anointing of Christ Jesus. We yield, we submit, we give ourselves to You into the hearing of the Word of God today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As you get ready to sit down, shake somebody by the hand, give them the title of the message today. Tell them this: not on my watch. Turn and tell them, not on my watch. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you all so very, very much. Amen. Used to be that when we got ready to go back to school, I can still remember, it's been a few years, but I remember as kids growing up, we'd play all summer long, and then there would come a time where we'd have to go and buy our back to school clothes. I don't know, do we still do that? Do kids still do that? You had to go buy your back to school clothes. And my mother, who loves to shop, been anointed and gifted and called by God to be a prolific shopper. I would be playing outside with my brother and sister all summer long. We were never allowed in the house in the summertime. We were like stray dogs. We were kicked outside. The only time we were allowed in the house, Brother George, is if we came in the house in the summertime, we had to do chores. And so I never went inside the house. I stayed. I was feral. I was a feral child. And I stayed outside and played all summer long. And then there came that day where Mom said, all right, it's time for back to school shopping. And we had to go buy back to school clothes. And we would pile up in the vehicle. And we would drive 37 hours up into Pennsylvania. I don't know how long. It felt like 37 hours to what kind of store was that you took us to? I don't even know if it's still in existence. I believe it was called Vanity Fair. And some of it, I don't even know if they're still in business, but it was like a warehouse. We shopped at a warehouse. And before Costco's and warehouses were popular, Mom would shop for us at warehouse. And I remember going up there as a kid, and you'd have to buy everything, socks and underwear and shirts and jeans. And one summer, we went up there to buy back-to-school clothes. And so she would grab pants off the rack and give them to us and try these on. And I would try them on. And some of them would not button. And I said, we're in the wrong department. We got to go to a bigger department. And Mom would buy these pants for me. And on the pants, it said Husky. And so sometime in the summertime, I went from, you know, being Husky. I don't know how that happened. Been Husky ever since. Just constant. In fact, it Husky, inside of here, it says Husky. And so no matter how much I tried, I could take shots, pop pills, jog, run fast, do all that. I just stay in the Husky category. I've been anointed to be Husky. And so, but I remember going back to school, and the stressor was that when you got your back to school clothes, the stress that I had to deal with was what was going to be my first day back to school outfit. Anybody remember that? You had to lay them out the day before. What was going to be the first day back? What was I going to wear? And your shoes and your jeans and your shirt. And back in our day, we didn't have pre-washed jeans. We had jeans that when you walked in them, you as stiff as a board. And now people pay, like down in Texas, they pay to have that. You can hold your pant leg straight out and it'll stick straight out. They starch that thing so much. But nowadays we don't do that. We put holes in them now. We was never allowed to go to school like this. We didn't go to school with frayed up things on our, by the way, they are Husky. These are Husky, American Eagle Husky, in case you were wondering. But the most stress I had was trying to figure out what I was going to wear on the first day. And the second most stressful thing I had to deal with was whatever you wore, you didn't wear your school clothes to play in. You had your play clothes and you had your school clothes, and you were never allowed to mix them up at all, ever. And those were the stresses that I had to deal with. But you know, we live in a day and an age today where I would invite those stressors back for our children, worrying about what they were going to wear. Our kids don't have to deal with that. No, they deal with other things. They've got to deal with whether or not they're going to be bullied in school. They got to deal with identity crisis. They got to deal with the pressures of social media, with peer pressure. We've all dealt with peer pressure, but the kids nowadays seem like they deal with a more peer pressure than I've ever had to deal with ever in my life. And we see that teachers are often overworked, and you heard Cat. Some of them can't. They don't even have good staplers. And so thank God for Riverside Church taking the opportunity and the privilege of being able to adopt 50 school teachers and being able to bless them like we did, because teachers are overworked and they're under-resourced. And not just that, but parents. Parents get stressed out. Are there any stressed out parents in here today? Got to worry about getting your kids to school, getting them back to school. I saw a TikTok where Jamie was taking her kids to school. They were visiting their teachers. And I love this TikTok. They were out visiting their teacher. She was walking around with anointing oil, praying over the school, praying over the doors, praying over the classrooms. And so I absolutely love that. Parents are often stretched thin as well. But this is why, as a church, what I want to preach to us today about, and hopefully inspire and encourage and motivate us today, is that with all the stress and all the pressure of sending the kids back to school, the things that we worry about when they get there and all of that sort of thing, the one thing that I want to make sure that we do is that, you know, We've preached a long time about generational curses in the church, and we've gotten a lot of amens, and we've got conferences that deal with it. I don't want to talk about generational curses so much today. I want to talk to you about generational blessings today. I want my kids to be blessed. I want your kids to be blessed. And not only that, but I want when they leave here today, they feel blessed. And I want to teach you how it is for you to bless your kids, bless your home, bless your spouse, bless everything you put your hands to do. How many of you want to be blessed today? Just wave your hand at me. You ready to be blessed? And so that's what I want to talk to us today about. Psalm, the text says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Is there anybody in the house with me today that understands and knows that the God that we serve, the God that we sing to, the God that we pray to is still a God of awesome might and awesome power and glorious deeds? Are there anybody in the room today that's been a recipient of the glorious deeds of God in your life? We sing about him being a healer, but has anybody in here ever been healed? Can I get a witness today? We sing about him blessing. Anybody ever been blessed by this king today? You ought to take the next 10 seconds and give God praise for his glorious deeds, his mighty works. Amen, somebody. Come on and bless the Lord. I've got four quick points and then I'll get out of your way and we'll bless and pray for our kids. If you're a note taker, write this down concerning blessings. Blessings are generational. Blessings are generational. Let the church say generational. God never intended his works to die with one generation. What he does in us is supposed to flow through us. And let me say that again. What he does in us is supposed to flow through us. God's blessings are never meant to be dams. They are meant to be rivers of living water flowing as he pours into us. You have to understand this. The reason God pours into you is so that you'll pour into somebody else. He pours into us so that he might pour through us. In Genesis chapter 12, he says to Abraham, I will bless you and I will make your name great and you shall be a blessing. Man, the text doesn't stop there. The verse goes on to say, here's why. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God blesses you so that those around you can be blessed. Touch your neighbor and tell them, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Come on, tell them, I'm blessed to be a blessing. God didn't bless Abraham just for Abraham. God blessed Abraham so that others would be blessed. In John chapter 7, verse 38, it says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Ask your person sitting beside you, what's flowing from your heart today? It should be rivers of living water. When we are filled with the Spirit, that living water is not supposed to stay on the inside of you. It should flow out in order to refresh others. Have you been refreshing others here lately, or have you been stagnant yourself? I think too many times in the church, I'm getting ready to preach in here. I think too many times in the church, we receive the favor of God, we receive the blessings of God, and we keep it all for ourselves. We might only put it on display while we're in the church, but when we leave the church, we let that thing stagnate. Don't let it stagnate. From out of your heart should flow rivers of living water. That means when thirsty people get around you, their thirst ought to be quenched for what's flowing out of you. If God's pouring into you on a Sunday, you ought to be pouring out on your job on a Monday. I wish I had somebody to help me. If he's pouring into you on a Sunday, you ought to be pouring out into your house on a Wednesday. I wish I had three people in here that knew what I was talking about today. No, we don't need to be stagnated anymore. We need to let this thing flow like a river. There is no side like the riverside. We need to let this flow. Watch this. The blessings are generational. Look what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. He says, I am persuaded it is in you also. Touch the people behind you and say, this thing is generational. It flowed from a grandmama to a mama to Timothy himself. That's the pattern of the kingdom. Salvation flows. Testimonies flow. Faith flows. Blessings flow. And if we try to hold on to it for ourselves, it'll stagnate. But touch somebody and say, I'm here to pass it on. I'm here to pass it on. Not only do I want to pass it on, I want it to multiply when I pass it on. I don't want this thing to add. We don't do addition in the kingdom. We do multiplication in the kingdom. Let it multiply. Why? I love this. Because the miracle, watch this. When God delivers you, your kids ought to hear about it. I'm going to say that again. When God delivers you, your kids need to hear that testimony. When God provides for you, your children ought to be the first to hear about it. If God heals you, your family, your kids ought to know about it and hear about it. Now ask me why. Because the miracle in you becomes the faith in them. Wanted to say, I wish they had more faith. I wish they had the faith of my grandmother, the faith of my mother. I wish they had that kind of faith. When you start testifying and telling them the glorious power and the mighty works of God and what he's done for you in your life. They hear us complain all the time about not having enough money to make ends meet. They hear us complain and they hear us bellyache and moan about how terrible this is and about how awful that is, and then when they grow up they just perpetuate the cycle of how terrible and how impoverished and how poor and how broke, busted and disgusted. But what if we changed the way we spoke? What if we changed and said, God is good. He healed my body. He set me free. He loosed me. What if we started telling them about the good things that God is doing in our lives? What a transformation that will be. It will stir up faith in them. Watch this. If our children don't know the praises of the Lord, it won't be because God has stopped working them. It'll be because the church or the parents have stopped telling them about the goodness of God. Woo! Now touch your neighbor and say, it's tight, but it's right. Go ahead, tell them. It's tight, but it's right. We're not going to fake the funk up in here, Noriel. I learned that last week. I'm going to use that like it's my own. Don't fake the funk. Lord Jesus, that got me a little dizzy. I shouldn't be doing that too much. Take it easy. Blessing is generational. Number two, the blessing is prophetic. I'm getting ready to teach you a thing. In the Bible, blessings were never just a nice wish. It was a prophetic declaration, you better hear me now, that shaped the destinies and generations to come. When Isaac blessed Jacob in Genesis chapter 27, he wasn't just giving him kind words before he died. He was speaking God's favor and future into his life. And even though Jacob deceived his brother, the blessing, watch this, once it was spoken, could not be reversed. That's the weight of blessing. It couldn't be reversed. Once it was declared, once it was spoken, even though Jacob messed up, there was no reversing that thing. What came out of his mouth stood the test of time. Touch your neighbor and say, there's weight on the blessing. You better hear me now. When Moses blessed the tribes of Israel in Deuteronomy 33, he wasn't handing out good luck charms to them. No, he was declaring their inheritance and their identity as God's people. His words set the course for how each tribe would walk out and live their future. In Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26, we hear this at the end of almost every service we've ever gone to. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. These were not just words given as a benediction to the close of a service. They were speaking God's name, God's covering, and God's covenant into the lives of people. Understand this. Blessings in the Bible were creative. It built something. It framed identity. It changed the atmosphere. That's why Proverbs teaches us there is death and life in the power of your tongue, in what it is you speak. If you speak it over your kids, well, you're no good for nothing, just like your grandpappy, just like you're going to grow up and be just sorry bum, just like your dad. Don't you get upset when they grow up and be sorry just like their dad. You declared it over them. Hey! But if you rise up in the morning and you declare their identity, you say, you are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Come here, son. I got to tell you something. You are the head today and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You're blessed in this house. You're blessed going out of this house. You're blessed when you go into the school. You're blessed when you come out of the school. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the country. You're blessed in the factory. You're blessed in the field. Come on, somebody. Not only is the blessings of God generational, but the blessings of God are prophetic. You establish who they are by what it is you're speaking over them. You are establishing their future by what you're speaking over them. Not only that, but they will talk like you talk. And if you want them to bless, then they better hear you bless. Because if all they hear you do is curse, don't you get upset if that's all you hear them do. They're just doing what was modeled in front of them. There's death and there is life in the power of the tongue. What are you speaking? When you are speaking blessings and when you are speaking a blessing over them, I want you to understand this. You're speaking life into their futures that haven't unfolded yet. They are prophetic. They are prophetic, and they will unfold as they live their lives. So I want to say to the parents that are here, when you bless your kids every morning before school, you're prophesying over their day. Do you understand that? Do you know that? Even if you can't be there, you got to go to work and they got to get themselves ready and go to the bus stop. They all got cell phones. Text them a blessing. Don't be just texting them, did you get your lunch bag? Don't forget your homework. No, start off by speaking a blessing over them. Put it as a note on their book bag. Put it in their lunchbox. Do they do lunchboxes still? Do we do that? Put it in there. Declare their identity before the culture gets to declare their identity. Let the moms and the dads and the grandparents and the aunties and the uncles, you declare their identity before the culture declares who they are. They're already confused enough. Let's unconfuse them by declaring the blessings in favor of God over them. Let's shape their future and their identity by blessing them. I'm a big proponent of this. I started doing it the very day we brought Skybell home. And when we brought Jace home, I know I shared this with you, but I'm going to say it again. I would literally carry them around the apartment or the house we were in, and I would just speak the blessings and favor of God over them. I wanted them to hear me say it. I don't want them just to hear Daddy pray when he's at church, or see Daddy worship when he's at church, or see me reading the Bible when I'm at church. I want them to hear it and see it and know it. This is who I want you to become. I want to speak the favor and blessings of God over them. There's life and there's death in the power of our tongues. That reminds me of a story I did to Jace. This, you ever have those times where your kids are growing up and they wanted pets? And so we already had dogs, so he didn't want a dog, but I think he wanted a parrot. Where's Tina at? She can help me. He wanted a parakeet, didn't he? He wanted a parakeet. And we got him this parakeet, and he had this parakeet, and Jace was very young at the time and very irresponsible at the time. And this parakeet, he endured until the end. He did. I mean, he endured to the end, and he fought the good fight. Parakeet, what was that bird's name, baby? Do you remember? It had a name. It was a funny name. Anyway, he endured, and he fought the good fight of faith, but it was time for him to go home and be with Jesus, because there was a lack of food and a lack of water that went into that bird cage. And Jace was devastated, and he was heartbroken. And I wanted to teach him, not a lesson, I wanted to teach him about life and death and the power of the tongue. And so we took that little parakeet, and we stuck it in a box, and we got it all ready for burial. And I said, son, you got to pray and ask God to raise this bird up from the dead. Hold on a second. And we did. In the name of Jesus. Bring back Petey. I don't know his name. I think it was Petey. Bring Petey back. Well, I forgot to tell you this part of the story. While he was at school, I went to the store and I found a bird that looked just like. Son, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Speak life. Speak life. Yes, I did. I switched that bird out before he said, yes, I. Now, my son's back here in the children's ministry right now. Don't you ever tell him that he does not have the ability to bring back dead parakeets, because he's been gifted with the ability to resurrect the dead birds. And so don't you ever tell him otherwise. And anyway, Petey the Second endured to the very end and fought the good fight of faith. And then there was no more resurrection power in the budget for another parakeet. And that was the end of that. Amen. But there's. My kids are going to need therapy at some point in their lives. Equo, are you in here, baby? They're going to need therapy, honey. They're going to need to come and make an appointment with you. Amen. So, number three, let me move on. Everybody say number three.
Number three.
Blessings are contagious. Blessings become contagious. Psalm 78 says, when children receive the testimony of God, watch this, they will rise up and declare it to their children. Amen. This is how we perpetuate Christianity. This is how revival continues. This is how it happens. It doesn't just happen in a moment, but it can continue from one generation to the next generation. Proverbs says it this way, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. What, yes, amen. Give God praise for that. This is not a verse that says your kids will never have trouble. It's not a verse you lean on to say they'll never drift. It's not a verse that says they'll never wrestle with their faith. But what it is, it's a promise that when seeds of truth are planted in their hearts and in their lives, in their childhood, they will remain there with them. And if they ever wander and they ever get away, you know that you planted seeds in their heart. You know you planted eternity in their heart. And if they ever drift and ever wander, there will come a time where if you train them up in the way they should go when they're old, they will not depart. Touch your neighbor and say, they'll come back. They will come back. Train up. In Hebrew, literally means to dedicate, initiate, narrow, or set apart. It's the picture of shaping a child's path so clearly that even if they step off for a season, home, the road home is still visible. God's word planted in a child's heart becomes a spiritual GPS for them. And when life gets confusing and they stray a little bit, they'll be able to find their way back. You know, there's a well-known man who grew up in church. His father was a Pentecostal preacher. And as a boy, he would sit in the pews of the Kelly Temple Church of God in Christ in Harlem, hearing the word of God week after week. Seeds of faith were planted in him early. But like so many, when he got older, he began to drift and he pursued other things. And he didn't always live in alignment with what it was he had been taught as a child. And for years, it looked like the faith of his youth might have been left behind. But these seeds never died. The training never disappeared. Because when he became older, he came back. And just this past year, he was baptized again and received a minister's license at the very church he sat on the pews and listen to his daddy preach. And today, not only is he bold about his faith, he's one of the most respected men in Hollywood, using interviews and award shows to point people to Jesus Christ. If you're wondering who I'm talking about, I am talking about two-time Oscar winner Denzel Washington. Parents, listen to me. Train up a child in the way he should go. Don't you let them talk you into staying home on a Sunday. You make sure you get them into God's house. You make sure you get them into church. Now, I'm not saying this to disparage my mom and dad, but when we were children, they didn't always go to church, but they made sure we went. They made sure we went to church. They didn't go. Hey, they pull up in the front of the church and they'll be like, I see you got your back to school clothes on. Get out of here, Husky, and get in there and get the word of God in you. They would take us to Sunday school class. We didn't know anything about Sunday school. We didn't grow up in church. We was heathens. We played outside. We were feral kids. And they would take us and they would push us out the door and say, you get in there, get in. And they would just drive on. I have no idea how we got back to the house. I don't know if Shane is in here. How did we ever get back home? I have no idea. I have no recollection of them ever picking us back up. Get in there, Husky, and get some preaching to you. Why do you have to keep calling me that? I'm a little fluffy. It's a fluff. But here's the point. The point is, They did that when we were children. Then when I got to be 16 years old and I was having some issues and I was having some challenges as a teenage boy, there was something on the inside of me that just knew if I could ever get back to the church, if I could ever. I remember when it was when I cried out to Christ before even coming to the altar and getting saved. I had a terrible argument and a fight, and I ran into my bedroom and there was a Bible on the bookshelf, and I grabbed that Bible and I pulled it in and I wept over that Bible and said, God, if you're real, I need you. I need you. I can't do this on my own anymore. And I was just a teenage boy. I can't do this on my own anymore. And then later on that Sunday, I found myself in church at an altar praying the sinner's prayer and accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I've never looked back after that. Why? Because even though they didn't go to church, you're getting into that church. If you plant the seed of God and the Word of God in their heart, when they're older, they will not depart from it. My mama was one who grew up in church, got out of church, and then later on in her adult life, she'll testify. The Lord got a hold of her and said, when you gonna stop running? And here she is today, serving God with all of her heart, all of her might. In fact, all of my family has come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. Why? If you train up a child in the way that they should go when they're old, they will not depart from it. And lastly, point number four, if someone wants to grab the children, if one of the musicians will come back, the very last thing I want to say to you is this: blessings are protective. Blessings are protective. Without intentional blessings and discipleship, I want you to hear me now. It's going to get a little heavy right here. Every generation is at risk of spiritual decline. I want you to hear me. I don't want us to miss this point. I know our kids are going to be coming in just a moment. Do not get distracted. Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. Some of the scariest words in the Bible are recorded in this Judges chapter 2. Verse number 10, some of the most frightening words that I read in Scripture says this: when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. That is a scary verse of Scripture. Why? Because a whole generation grew up without knowing God, the God who split the Red Sea, the God who rained manna down from heaven, the God who knocked down the walls of Jericho, the God who gave them a promised land flowing with milk and honey. And it wasn't because God stopped moving, no. Had nothing to do with God stopping what he was doing. It had everything to do with his people stop telling the story and the blessings and the mighty works and the mighty deeds of their mighty God. Church, this is the danger of silence. This is the danger of not blessing the next generation. I want you to hear me, and I want this to hit you right between the eyes. Christianity is one generation away from extinction. Touch your neighbor and tell them, not on my watch. But here's what I want to tell you. If we don't pass it down, if we don't pass it on, if they don't hear our declarations, if they don't hear our testimonies, if they don't hear our witness, if they don't hear our praise to God, if they don't hear our prayers, if they don't hear it, then we are in imminent danger of becoming like Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. And a generation came up behind them that did not know God. And if you look at the statistics today, you'll find that the fastest growing religious category in America right now are the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, the nuns, people who have no affiliation with any kind of faith at all. Nearly half of all the young adults now identify as not having any type of affiliation with any type of religious organization at all. And right behind that, Islam is on the rise. And Christianity seems to be becoming less influential. I hope that shakes you. I hope that wakes you up. Because it means somewhere, somehow, the church has been silent and the church has been quiet where it should have been loud. It has been passive where we should have been passionate. And I've come by to make a declaration, Riverside Church. Not on our watch. Not on our watch. Not on our watch. Not as long as I've got breath in my lungs. Not on my watch. And not on your watch. Do you know why you're here today? Do you know why you serve God today? Because you had somebody in your family history. You had somebody in your lineage that prayed for you, that blessed you, that made declaration over you, that spoke over you. You had somebody lifting you up in prayer. And you ought to take the next 30 seconds and thank God for that grandmother, that mother, that father, that aunt, that pastor, that teacher, that coach, whoever it was that spoke into your life. You ought to take the next 30 seconds and say, God, I thank you for them. No one else is going to raise the next generation of believers except us. It's my responsibility, and it's your responsibility. And we need to adopt that mantra, not on my watch. Listen, the culture will curse them. Their peers might curse them. Other adults might curse them, but not me and not you. We are going to change up and switch up our language, and we are going to speak blessings over our kids. We're going to speak blessings over every student that's connected to Riverside Church. We are going to make sure that they hear the declaration and the praises of God and the goodness of God. Can I just say to all the parents, all the grandparents, the aunts and the uncles that are here, I commend you for making sure that you're in church. I know preaching this is preaching to the choir because you're here today. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm glad I came today. Because you did it. The reason your kids are here, the reason your grandkids are here, the reason your nieces and nephews is because of your faithfulness and your dedication. And I commend you. And I thank you as a pastor. And I say, well done, well done, well done. But we can't stop. We can't quit. We can't let our foot off the throttle. We can't back up. We can't become complacent. We can't become weary in well-doing. Why? Because we now have the watch. Turn around and touch the people behind you and tell them, we have the watch. We have the watch. It's my turn now. It's our turn now. Billy Graham done went home to be with the Lord. Jimmy Swagger done went home to be with the Lord. It's our turn now. It's our watch now. What are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? We've been given a great opportunity in the darkest times of human history, in the darkest times of this nation's history, we have the privilege and opportunity to be a light and to testify about the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and how we were lost, but now we're saved. We were blind, but now we were see. We can see. We were sick, but now we are made whole and we are healed. You and I are the evidence of someone else's faithfulness, and now let the next generation be the evidence of our faithfulness. You and I are here today because somebody before us was faithful. And we got these little kids, we got these students, and you know what they need? They need you to be faithful. They need you to be steadfast. They don't need you to curse them, they need you to bless them. They don't need you to say bad. They don't need you to tell them how awful they are, how bad they are, how they keep messing up. No, they need you to bless them. I'm not talking about soft parenting now. I didn't grow up with a soft parent. Remember, I was the husky one that got kicked out in front of the church. And sometimes they didn't even stop the car. They just slowed it down. And it's our turn. Listen to me. Mom and Dad, don't underestimate the power of your prayer. Your children may not always listen to your words, but you know what? They can't outrun your prayers. To all the teachers, we have teachers in here. You're the missionaries to the next generation. The investment you make in your students' lives, they may outlive you. You can bring the kids in. Go ahead and let them in. Bring in all the children. Bring in all the young people. They're all out there. Look how beautiful these babies are. Come on in, babies. Come on in. Come up here at this altar. Come on, come on, come on. We're not just going to send them back to school with fresh threads. We're not going to send them back with just brand new backpacks, brand new pencils, brand new pens, brand new trapper keepers. Y'all got trapper keepers? Y'all do trapper keepers? No trapper keepers? Well, that's the problem with this generation. There are not enough trapper keepers. I don't know what the budget is for trapper keepers in this church, but double it. We need to double it. I just want to say to all you students that are in here today, number one, I'm just going to say it. People are going to get mad at me that are watching online, and then let them get mad, but I'm going to say it. Riverside Church has the best-looking kids in any other church in Maryland. We got the best-looking kids. I'm just going to say that right there. And I just want to let you know how proud I am of each and every one of you for being here in this church. And there's a lot of them that are standing on this platform that are singing right now. They were in this age bracket over here, and we prayed blessings over them, George. We blessed them, George, and now they're up here leading us in worship. Brandy, you blessed them. And now they're leading. Because of your faithfulness. Now, Brandy's been a youth pastor as long as I've been a pastor, so, Lord, she needs prayer and supplication. But I want you guys to know how proud I am of you and how much I love you. And these are all your parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles. They're all here with you. And you know what we want to do? We want to speak blessings over you. We want to declare the favor of God over you as you get ready to go back to school. So can I invite everybody to stand with me? If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, I don't know how we're going to do it, but you can come down here and wrap your arms around your student, your child, lay your hand on them. I don't care if it gets crowded in here. We'll make room. Come find your student. Come find them. If you want to scoop them up, scoop them up. If you want to lay hands on them, lay hands on them. If you're a grandparent, you can come down here. If you're an aunt, come down. If you're an uncle, come down. If you're a teacher, come down. Yeah, make room. Help me make room for all the parents and grandparents. Just move them over this way. Move them over. We're just going to make room. Because we will not hide the works of our God, and we are here to declare them over the next generation. That's what we will do. Is Jess in here? Where you at, Jess? Come here, Jess. Come here, Brandy. Come up here on the stage with me. I'm not going to make you take the microphone. This is our children's director. This is our youth director. And I'm just going to ask you guys to stretch your hands over them. Everyone out there, stretch your hands this way. And Jeremiah, you can go into that song, The Blessing, that we were singing a minute ago. And what I want you to do, everyone that's laying their hands on his, all I want you to do is speak the blessing of God over them. That's all. So what is that? I just want you to tell them, you are favored by God. You are blessed by God. You are the head and not the tail. You will have a good school year. You will be liked. You won't be bullied. You'll be well liked. You will be influential. If I don't care if they go to homeschool, if they go to, I pray for them homeschool kids. Come on, let's pray right now. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to declare the blessings of God over every student connected to Riverside Church. God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would keep your hand upon them as they go back to school this year. God, I pray that you would dispatch angels to watch over them and to keep them. I pray, God, every school in Harford County, Cecil County, and Baltimore County will be protected by the angel of the Lord and by the hand of God. I pray every student that's in Riverside, God, that they will be a beacon of hope and a light, that they will be kids of faith and encouragement, God. Lord, that they will carry your light into that school, that they will be influencers, God, that they will make a difference when they go in, that they will make a difference when they open their mouths, when they talk to their peers, that they will make a difference in that school. God, we pray your blessing upon each and every one of them. God, make your face to shine down on them. Let your hand be on them. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by God. And I pray, God, that you would continue to order their footsteps. I pray, God, for every parent, every grandparent. I pray for every teacher, God, that you would help them have the faith and the courage to continue to bless their students. I pray, God, that they would not wake up wringing their hands, worrying about another school shooting, but God, they would know that our kids are safe because you are with them. You will not forsake them. You will not leave them, but you are with them. I pray, God, that you would give them patience. I pray, God, that you would give them resources. I pray, God, that you would give them peace. I pray, God, that you would remind every one of us to continue to bless our students every day, that there's not a day, a school day that goes by where we forget to bless, but we bless them, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Not just the teachers, God, but anyone and everyone that works in the school system, from the janitors to those who serve food in the cafeteria to the nurses, God, we pray, bless them, keep them, watch over them, God. I pray in Jesus' name. I declare, as the under shepherd of this house, I declare the favor of God upon every student in this church. I declare the favor of God on you and the blessing of God on you. You will be favored and you will be blessed of the Lord. You will be kept and you will be protected of the Lord. I pray and I declare it over you. You are blessed. 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 You are, baby, you know you're blessed. You are God's favorite. Did you know that? You ought to tell everybody that's standing around you, just tell them, I'm God's favorite. You ought to tell them that. Declan, you know you're my favorite. You ought to tell them, I'm pastor's favorite. You ought to tell them, I'm God's favorite. You are favored and blessed. Favored and blessed. Favored and blessed of the Lord. You are. You are. Amen. 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 Do me a favor before you leave out of here. Take the next 20 seconds and just give God a hand clap of praise and thank Him for what He's doing in this place.